You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
It is the first off day of the preseason for the Razorbacks, but the show goes on. Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon joined today by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Today we're going to take a closer look at the Razorbacks running backs. One of the big questions in the preseason is who's going to be the number two running back behind Traylon Smith. But before we get to our running back analysis, guys, what have been some of the things that have stood out to you from practice this week, final practices without full pads?
Yesterday, the tight ends room was pretty busy. There was, I think Hudson Henry was missing. I think Tom reported that was just for a personal reason that Sam Pittman, kind of gave him his blessing on. But that's, you know, that's a day that he's not out there getting some work in, getting some reps in. And Levi Draper, who moved to the position, I believe it was over the weekend, also didn't see him out there. And Coylin Jackson was finally back. He was, you know, going through drills with Dow Loggins. And, you know, I don't know that this is a real surprise to anyone because Coylin's been a receiver for the majority of the time that he's been here, but he's by far got the quickest feet in that room. I think, you know, despite having some, you know, kind of chronic knee problems, I think. So the tight end room was busy, and then they added, you know, Dominic Johnson to the room. I know we'll talk about running backs a little bit later, but that was a pretty interesting addition, I thought.
Yeah, no question about it. And you could see Coylin. I'm rooting for Coylin because I think he's a good kid. He was over there flexing his knee and when it wasn't his turn. And so the tight end room from day one in this camp has been kind of in flux a little bit. So we do know that Blake Kern and Hudson Henry should be a solid 1-2, but they are looking for somebody else. Nathan Bax or maybe it's Coylin to really, you know, help support those guys. And I can't help but think back to Coylin's first camp right before he hurt his knee. He went deep and somebody dropped a pass right on him. And Ryan Pulley was right there in coverage and Coylin caught it for a touchdown. And we thought that would be the start of a good career. But unfortunately, it's been a career full of injuries for Coylin, so I wish him all the best this year.
You wrote in your practice notebook today about the open period yesterday, the red zone work. What were your thoughts from watching that?
Yeah, and I put a little note in there about how, and we talk about this, that this favors the receivers. They know where they're going, the quarterback. There's no other route. They're running a route. There's no pass rush coming at them. They don't have to look at some other receiver. It's just that route. And so it favors the receivers in my view. And yesterday, the offense went 9 of 18 on completions and 8 of them were touchdowns. And then Darren Turner got caught a little short of the goal line. So, you know, solid numbers. KJ Jefferson's passes were a little deep. Scotty, I mean, a little far for Trey Knox and for Jaquelin Crawford. And so the DBs were in pretty good position, and that was Busta Brown and Greg Brooks. But they were in good position, but the passes were a little far. And so it's not like they had to break them up. Malik Hornsby had a better day. I didn't think his camp was off to a particularly great start, but he had a good day yesterday. Throwing to Traylon Burks makes it a little simpler. I thought Malik got away with one. Burks was wide open on a fade and it was over the right shoulder and the DB was beaten and Hornsby's pass was delivered more to his right, but Traylon was so open that he was able to turn and catch it that way. So Burks is off to a wonderful start in this camp. Other thoughts. Kay Renfro looks like he can deliver passes. And John Stephen Jones threw the only pick. It was to Joe Fouché. He had thrown an interception the day before in a team period to D.D. Edwards. So in the battle for the number three quarterback, I wouldn't know exactly who's got the edge, but whoever gets it, I think they might be able to compete with Malik Hornsby for the number two, Scotty.
Yeah, some of the DBs that I really liked, you know, you mentioned that drill, which they started, sometimes they do it just, they snap the ball from like the 25-yard line going long, like going the length of the field that way. Yet the last couple of days they've started deep red zone. I think they snapped the ball from the 7. So you get some good one-on-one matchups right there. And, you know, so the defensive backs are obviously at a disadvantage, but I thought Greg Brooks looked good. Miles Slusher, I think, had a pass breakup on a ball intended for Treylon Burks in the back corner of the end zone. Just he kind of saw when the ball hit Treylon's hands, and then he just swiped down, knocked the ball free. And I thought Nick Turner looked pretty good. He had a couple of pass breakups against Jaden Wilson and Trey Knox, who is obviously much bigger than him. But I really like the toughness and the grit that those two nickels are showing. Greg Brooks and Miles Slusher, I've really thought they've had a good camp so far.
A couple of non-camp notes that came out yesterday. Arkansas got 3 votes in the coaches poll. Are we surprised that Arkansas received any votes in the coaches poll, given the season that they're coming off of, Tom?
Yeah, I'm mildly surprised. And, you know, Kirby Smart's voting, so maybe that's a little nod to his man, Sam Pittman. And he could have put him 23 in his poll, and that's the 3 votes. Or it could have been Sam Pittman gives his team 25th spot, Kirby gives his team the 25th spot, and say Eli Drinkwitz, he's voting too, gives them the 25th spot. We don't know. The coaches don't have to make theirs public like us AP voters do. But, you know, mildly surprising. But I think maybe just a nod of respect that the program's heading in the right direction.
Worth noting, there are 59 teams that received at least one vote. That's just a little under half of all the Division I teams. Another note that came out yesterday is that Sam Pittman's going to speak at the Little Rock Touchdown Club this year on August the 24th. Tom, these are informative sessions, I think, when coaches go to the touchdown clubs. Or let me back up. They can be informative sessions. It kind of depends on the coach. It's really going to be the first time that we're able to see Sam Pittman in this type of format.
Absolutely. And, of course, for Sam, you use it as a forum to get out your message to the populace. And I think it's going to be, I like my team. You know, we're heading in the right direction. We're a bigger team. We're a more physical team. And, you know, thank you for all the support you give. And, you know, we're just going to go out there and try to represent you this season. And then there'll be a lot of offshoots from that. But that's the core message. That's what the fans want to hear. And, you know, I think fans are tentatively optimistic about the direction of the Sam Pittman regime because they saw that in game number 1 against Georgia, a team that had aspirations to win the East, well thought of program, a lot of depth, a lot of skill talent. The quarterback was the question mark, and they started DeJuan Mathis, who wound up not being the answer. But still, Arkansas had a good game plan. They made things tough on DeJuan Mathis, and they led, you know, the touchdown pass from Felipe Franks to Burks. Gave them the lead, and, you know, it's 7-3 at halftime and 7-5. At some point in the third quarter. And from that moment on, it's like, okay, Sam Pittman knows what he's doing. We do not have the same talent to match up to the best teams in the SEC, but we're competing with them. Should have won the Auburn game. And so the foundation looks good. And if they just continue to recruit, they can be headed in the right direction. So that's my take on what Sam Pittman's message might be in Little Rock.
Well, you always have the head coach before the season starts. It's when they can still preach hope. Pittman's one of 7 individuals who are affiliated with the Razorbacks, by the way, who are going to speak at the Touchdown Club this year. The others are Hunter Yurecek on September 20th, Darren McFadden September 27th, Matt Jones on October the 4th, Matt Jones the quarterback, Austin Allen October 18th, Quinn Grovey November 15th, and Ken Hatfield November 22nd. Pretty impressive group they've got this year. Other notable people, Terry Bradshaw, Drew Pearson, Cliff Harris, Pro Football Hall of Famers. For more information, you can go to lrtouchdown.com, the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
I'm really excited that they're bringing Vern Lundquist in too.
Yeah.
I'd like to go ahead and request off that day so I can go listen to him. He's kind of the voice of my Saturdays growing up. That'll be a fun day.
Yeah. Vern Lundquist, great college football announcer. A lot of people forget he was a pro football announcer for a long time and really got his big break as the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Cowboys way back when. So again, lrtouchdown.com is where you can go to find information about dates, membership, ticket information. They'll meet at the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Little Rock. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Each day this week and next, we are going to take a closer look at positions on the Razorbacks football team. And today, we're going to take a closer look at the running backs room. Jimmy Smith, the second-year running back coach who just received a contract extension and pay raise, spoke to the media earlier this week, and here were some highlights from what he had to say.
Maybe the most impactful guy on the team could be whoever ends up as number two running back. Just kind of what do you think of that? And just is anybody emerging at that position?
I agree totally. Right now we have three or four guys fighting for it. Between I look at different things between Rocket and AJ and Josh. We're doing a great job. Dominique has a role. All the guys doing a great job. So we're going to continue through this in fall camp, and we're going to find a two and a three. Somebody who can do catch the ball to the backfield, protect, and run everything. We're going to run inside and outside. I don't want a guy. I got role players. We had role players. But I want a guy who can do everything.
Has Traylon stepped up as a leader? Because last year, you know, he came in behind Boyd. Mm-hmm. Now he's kind of the Rakeem Boyd from last year. You know, has he stepped up in leadership?
I'm probably give you an answer you probably didn't think you're going to get. He's a leader last year. Traylon's that type of kid. Like, he goes hard. He loves football. So, in the weight room, on the field, he's going to go hard all the time. So, although Rakeem was a good back and one of the guys that we were depending on and probably the start at the beginning of the year, Traylon practiced hard every day, went hard in the weight room every day. So he's a natural leader because he loves football and he goes so hard. Like, he wanna do well. He's not selfish at all, which I really love.
Tom, the theme, it seems to me, with the running back room is that it's Smith and everybody else, that there's a lot of capable running backs on this roster, but, you know, kind of similar to the quarterbacks behind KJ Jefferson, there's just not any experience there. What have you seen from the running backs? Granted that we haven't seen, you know, anything in full pads yet. What do you see shaking out behind Traylon Smith right now?
Yeah, I'll give my quick assessment and then toss to Scotty here. But I think you're right that the second string position is like seemingly wide open. We know from what Sam Pittman has said in the past, he likes Josh Oglesby, and he might have factored in behind Traylon last year had he stayed healthy, but he had the foot injury. He was in the media room with us, and I think they'd like to see what he can do. The thing is, he's the same style of back as Traylon, maybe a little bit faster, but maybe not as tough between the tackles. So I think you still need a big back's presence. And Dominic Johnson, who Scotty mentions working with the tight ends on Tuesday, might have been the top guy at being the big back. So I think they really like Rocket Sanders, and I think they like Green and Hunt. So Johnson got the second team reps inside the team period we saw the other day. But Jimmy Smith was quick to mention it was just the package they were in. So I don't think they're really willing to share who's got the lead at number two right now. And based on recruiting stars and what we've heard, I think Oglesby, maybe Green and Rocket Sanders are the ones that are most likely to wind up with second and 13. And I really do hope they go three deep at running back to give guys chances and to keep a little bit off Traylon Smith.
Scotty, I know you focused the other day on AJ Green, the running back from Tulsa Union. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really positive sign that, you know, Jimmy Smith said that AJ Green is the back that has been in his room the least amount of time, but he's picking things up really, really well. And I think that's probably part of the reason for that is just the high school program that he comes from a really, really good program in Union. And I mean, some of those high schools over in Tulsa are kind of run like college programs anyway. And so he's coming from a really good background. I think he's a really smart, intelligent kid, and that's just off the field stuff. And then when he gets on the field, Jimmy Smith has said this, and Traylon Smith kind of backed it up too. The kid's not rattled by anything. And that, I think, is a pretty rare quality for a kid who's not only a freshman, but he's not been there very long. So I just think one of the things I think could help this, that could kind of you can kind of figure out who your number two is going to be, or maybe even your number three too, is just how do these guys perform in pass protection? Because that's there's not a lot of big guys in that room. And so some of those guys are going to have to, you know, maybe play bigger than they are. One other thought that I had was, do we think that maybe the Dominic Johnson move was a sign that the coaches are really liking what they're seeing from Rocket? And, you know, he's showing well as a kind of a compliment to Traylon Smith, because I feel like you do need that bigger back in the room. I don't think that you can just run out there with three guys that are, you know, maybe similar size, similar build to Traylon Smith. You know, you can beat guys, you can obviously win games with speed, but I feel like you need a little bit of girth in that room too. So it might be that move could be a sign that Rocket's progressing, or it might have just been a deal that, you know, Hudson Henry's out for a day, Levi Draper's out for a day. Maybe you just need some bodies. But I really like Dominic Johnson. Like, I remember asking Sam Pittman after the spring game, you think he's going to be able to factor in? And he said, I think he's going to have to, because you need, you know, some bigger bodies in there.
Scotty, I do think it's an indication of both things, that A, Dominic Johnson's picked up the offense. He knows what he's doing. But let's just see what he looks like as a good blocking tight end, and maybe a guy who can get past the safety. And also that the other bigger backs are progressing well and they like what they're seeing. One guy we failed to mention is TJ Hammonds, who's been taking more of his reps with the receivers. And I think that's a product of he knows what he's doing at running back. And if we need him there, we can just plug him in at a moment's notice. Meanwhile, he could be a matchup issue in the slot. And we saw what he did in the LSU game, gets open and makes a big play. And so I think it's smart of them to make sure TJ knows the system and schemes as a receiver.
I wanted to double back to something that Scotty said for just a second about AJ Green coming out of Tulsa, because I agree the high school football in Tulsa is really good. Programs like Broken Arrow and Owosso, Union, Jinx, you can go on and on with some good programs in there. But high school football in Oklahoma in general is really good. And you've got two running backs coming in from, you know, bigger high schools in Oklahoma, AJ Green out of Tulsa Union, and you've got Javian Hunt coming in from Carl Albert in the Oklahoma City area. Tom, what are your thoughts on this, how high school football prepares you for college football? Because a lot of times I think one of the reasons people get enamored with Texas athletes is because of the quality of high school football that they play there in that state. And Oklahoma may not be Texas, but I don't know that it's too far behind.
Well, they love their football in Oklahoma. And when you think back to the Bud Wilkinson and Barry Switzer days, they were a national program that was winning national championship. I actually lived in Oklahoma when they won the 74 title with Greg Pruitt as the running back and those wishbone quarterbacks. And anyway, there's a lot of attention paid to football in Oklahoma, and the kids grow up with it in their blood, and it helps make them better at it. And it's the same in Texas, that when so much attention is given and so much the booster money is there to help fund the programs, that the quality of coaches is good and it trickles down to the players. So no question that Arkansas targets Oklahoma in their recruiting. And the fact that OU is joining the SEC is going to factor in to how well Arkansas continues to recruit in the Sooner State.
A lot of Arkansas or a lot of Oklahoma ties on the Arkansas staff. Sam Pittman grew up there. Barry Odom grew up there. I think a couple of the coaches who were on the staff, you know, last year had ties over in Oklahoma too. And there are a lot of Oklahoma players on this roster, maybe more so than I can remember at any other time. All right. As we mentioned earlier, on Thursday, the Razorbacks will go into full pads. Scotty, what are you watching for whenever full pads are put on? Obviously, I would think you start with the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think Clay made a terrific point yesterday when we were talking about how, you know, I was watching, I mean, me and Tom were watching some of the pass protection drills that Arkansas did. I think it was on Monday, and the defensive line looked to really gotten the best of the offensive line. And Clay mentioned, you know, before you put on full pads, like there's nothing really there for an offensive lineman to grab onto to kind of neutralize a defensive lineman. And you see, you know, quite a few guys, like I saw Mateo Soli. He was a kind of a regular in the backfield during one of those drills. He's slipping by one of the, I think it was second or third team tackle. And it's just kind of running free almost, because there's just nothing to grab onto except skin. So you get full pads on. Do things even out a little bit, or do we see? I'm also looking to kind of see, does the first team defensive line kind of make, does it change at all from what we saw a little bit earlier? Because I think we're hearing some good things about guys like John Ridgeway, who, when we saw him in the first team work the other day, he was running third team, but I don't think that dude's going to stay third team very long. And it doesn't really sound like he's going to be there very long. I think he's going to be an impact player. So I'm watching the D line. Like I said earlier in this podcast series, the D line, they've got some dudes there. They've got more dudes that I think can contribute. So really looking at the defensive line.
Yeah. And I think Arkansas has wisely structured their media schedule with having the more skill guys in early, because you can still do one-on-ones and compete drills with those guys without pads on, because that's what they're going to do every play anyway. The O-line and D-line can't be smashing it in there, and the linebackers and the running backs. So I just hope the guys are able to stay up. I mean, we don't know how Ricky Stromberg, you know, hurt his knee, but those guys were all wearing braces on both knees in the practices I've seen, which is a smart deal. And I just hope guys can stay up and they stay pretty healthy, because, you know, I think they're adding depth, and they may be getting closer to the top of the SEC in terms of overall team depth, but they're not there yet. And they sure can't afford some injuries at certain positions. So that's what I'm looking forward to when the pads get on.
One of the other things I saw on Tuesday was Dalton Wagner was wearing kind of a tan wrap around his lower back. And so I'm going to be kind of looking to see how he's moving around in full pads. And, you know, maybe if he's not, you know, maybe up to snuff for Sam Pittman, you might see a little bit more Marcus Henderson at right tackle.
A rough go for Dalton Wagner with all the injuries that he's faced throughout his career. You can go to WholeHogSports.com today and read a lot more about running backs. We've got features on Traylon Smith, A.J. Green, Javian Hunt, a lot more from practice from Tom Murphy, Bob Holt, Scotty Bordelon, all our team that's been out there covering practice over the last couple of weeks. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. For Scotty Bordelon and Tom Murphy, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.